we're going to learn a Hasid discourse by the Rebbe. Tov Shimon Dalet, this means 1984. It's going to take us two or three classes, just to know where we're standing. It's a very interesting Maimer discourse. There are a few points that are going to be hard, not hard to explain, but hard to chew and to understand what the Rebbe is talking about. We'll do the effort. The subject of the discourse is, what does it mean, the nations in the world? There are two types of nations in the world. One type of nation is the famous, so to speak, seven nations that used to live in the land of Canaan before the Jewish people actually entered over there to transform it into Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. And another one is Amalek. This discourse was pronounced by the Rebbe in Purim, or Erev Purim, whatever, the day before Purim, in Purim. Because Purim is directly connected to Amalek. Amalek is a nation that was always a problem to the Jewish people. And just very briefly, Haman, who was the minister of Ahasuerus, that wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he descended from, actually, Amalek. So that's why Amalek is a subject around the holiday of Purim. So let's go. The Torah says, you should remember, actually twice, the Torah says, you should remember what Amalek did to you in Parshas Beshalach, in Parshas Kiseitze. You should remember what the nation of Amalek did to you when you were out from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. So you have to remember, Zohar, remember. Afterwards it's written, you have to erase, delete completely any remembrance of Amalek. And the Torah ends up saying, do not forget. Never forget about Amalek. This is the verses in the Torah in Parshas Kiseitze. It's known when you're precise with the verses. What is this whole thing of remembering Amalek, this nation, that we were commanded actually to remember them and to erase them? Destroy them completely. Of course, maybe it's obvious, but just in case, there's nobody we can say and point out in the street and say, hey, you're Amalek, I'm going to kill you. No. Wait a second, today we don't know. There's no such a thing. Amalek is inside of us. As we're going to learn later, but this is what the Torah says. You have to remember and you have to erase completely, delete, press delete, Amalek. And also at the same time, we were commanded not to forget. These two things, what is this? And the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, the Rebbe Rashab, Shalom Doiber, brings in his discourse, starting with the same words, Tav Resh Nun Dalet, this would be 1894. And in other discourses also, Mashikosuf, but it was Bilam. What's written by Bilam? Bilam, a very, very known character in the Torah, in Parshas Balak, he says, Reishis goyim Amalek, v'acharis yad ha'oivat. The beginning of all the nations, Reishis goyim, the beginning of all the nations is Amalek. He's the head of all the nations, Amalek. And at the end, it's going to be completely destroyed. This is what Bilam said. Be'ainu, the afshi yeshod goyim, this means that even though there are other nations, Mikol Makem, however, Davka Amalek shu reshisa macharisa deovat. Precisely Amalek, which is the head of all the nations, that's going to be finally destroyed. Which of course means all the nations not. We have a problem with Amalek. These nations has to be destroyed. As it's written and understood from the prophecies of Bilam there in Parshas Balak, go look at it. That the rest of the nations will not be destroyed in the future to come. Eladav Kamolek, precisely Amalek, this nation is going to be destroyed. And also it's written clearly, as the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe Chabad, brings in his discourse, this famous verse of Tzefaniah. Then I will turn to the nations with a clear tongue to call everybody together in the name of God, to serve him with one portion, shoulder to shoulder, different translations. But the point is, in the future to come, all the nations are going to actually be uplifted from the level where they are right now. We're not talking about, in this, it's clear, it's, the verse in Spanish is not saying, we're going to kill all the nations, they have to die. No, no. We're going to uplift them. They're going to be uplifted. So clearly they're not going to be destroyed. In Ken, if this is so, צריך לאהוב מדוע דווקא מולק, שרשיס גויים, הנה יחריסי עד היוון. Why precisely a Molech, which is the beginning of all these nations, that's going to be completely destroyed. So they had their leader, their head, destroy it. But the rest of the people uplift them. Okay. So this is one thing we have to understand. Furthermore, it's not understood. From this same verse that Bilam said, it's clearly understood that there's a relationship between a Molech and the rest of the nations. Bilam says clearly, he is the head of all the nations. So of course, if you have a body and you cut the head, I'm sorry, the body is dead. So over here, no, cut the head, kill it, and the rest of the body uplifted. What are we talking about? It's difficult to understand. According to this, we have to really understand why is Amalek, the head of this body, quote-unquote, of nations, is going to be completely destroyed, but the rest of the nations are not going to be destroyed. We don't find this thing of destroying the nations. Oid maybe sham. Another idea that the fifth Rebbe brings in his discourse, Mashe Omru Bemedrash, where it's written in the Midrash. What does it say? Apostle Zichronechem Misheli Eifer. Your remembrance, this is a verse in Eoif, difficult text. Zichronechem, your remembrance, Misheli Eifer. It's for me like cenizas, like what you say, when you burn something and you are end up with, word came out of my head, ashes. That's the word, ashes. So your remembrance is for me like ashes. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midrash says on this verse from Eov, says God, Shtei zechiris kosavti lachem b'Torah. Two things you have to remember I wrote for you in the Torah. Zocher is asher asachom lecho Amalek. You have to remember what Amalek did to you. That's number one. Timche zecher Amalek. You have to erase it completely. Havu seirim baze. You have to be very careful with Amalek, says God. Vimasisem kachare yatem banav shel Avram shenim shal le'efer. And if you are children like this, that you're careful with Amalek, then I'll consider you, says God, like children of Avram. And Avram was compared to ashes. He compared himself to ashes. Tzadik lehovin. We have to understand this. Ma'u inyan zechiras Amalek. What is this whole thing of remembering Amalek? What's the relationship between that shebnei Yisrael em banav shel Avram dafke, to the fact that the Jewish people are the children of Avram specifically? So what's the connection over here? So two questions, basically. Question number one, I don't understand this whole thing of killing Amalek. They're the head of the nations. Why that thing has to be destroyed and the rest of the nations, no, uplifted? That's one question number one. Question number two is, what's the relationship that the Midrash clearly says between remembering and destroying Amalek and Avram? We're children of Avram. What's the connection over there? I don't understand. Okay, the ashes over there, yeah, nice ashes. But what's the connection over here? The content, not just words. Okay, lehavin kol zeh, in order to understand all of this, klal los avoyda bebirur ha'olam nechlek es beisef panim, you have to know that in general, the work, spiritual work, in refinement of the world, divides into two ways. Two things in the refinement of the world. Hine yadua ma she'amr razal godel talmud she'mevili ma'iseh, it's known what our sages said, that this learning of Torah, Talmud, learning of Torah is very important. Why? Because it brings to the action. It brings action. The teaching, the lessons, in a practical sense, what you have to do to live a life in the will of God and so on, that comes from learning Torah. If you don't learn Torah, you don't know what you have to do. Simple. Now, you have to know that also the stories in the Torah, they have lessons. They are lessons, as the Zohar says. To the point, the Rebbe doesn't want to bring this, as I understand it, but the Zohar says, a person that believes that the stories of the Torah are just stories of people, he doesn't have portion in the world to come. It's like very hard, very strong. Never learn the Torah as a storybook, as, okay, Abraham went and came, and no. Mizem Wovan, from this idea we can understand, שזה שיש בי ספנים מלחמה המסופנים בתוירה, ומשום שיש בי ספנים אלו גם בעבוד הסאדם. From the fact that there are two ways of war written in the Torah, as we'll learn in a minute, two ways of war, two types of war, that means that there are two types of service to God in ourselves. Every single thing, this is one of the main things in Hasidus, every single thing you see in the Torah has to be taken into avodas Hashem, into serving God. How do you serve God with this thing? Sometimes we don't know. Okay, so I don't know. What can I do? I'm a limited person. But certainly, it has a lesson in the service of God. Certainly. Now, over here, as we'll see in a minute, there are two ways of war. The Rebbe is going to say that. There are two ways of war written in the Torah. That means there are two ways of serving God. According to this war thing, there are many types of service of God. Now we're talking about war. Why? How do you know? We're talking about destroying Amalek. You have to go into war with them, kill them. Okay, so we're talking about a war. Hine. Now, basically, milchama eile bichlolus, in general, what are these two types of war? What are we talking about? Milchemes kivush eretz shiva umois, umilchemes Amalek. The two types of war are the war of conquering the land of the seven nations, Girgashi, Yevusi, Prizi, Chivi, okay, all those nations mentioned many times in the Torah, seven nations that used to live in the land of Canaan, that, again, in between parentheses, today, nothing of them remains. Nothing of them. You cannot go and say, because this guy is, and so on. No such a thing. No way. Furthermore, between these parentheses, because I think it's useful to know, those Palestines that call themselves Plishtim, Philistines, or whatever you call them, that's wrong. That's propaganda. That's not true. It's false. 100%. Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, they all destroyed the Philistines. There's nothing out of them right now. And the word, the name Palestine, it's from the Romans. They put this name into this land in order to demoralize the Jewish people that used to live over there and so on. So they have no connection to them. Not at all. Not at all. They're not the original, so to speak, people over there. Simple example. Super simple. My mother was born in Ukraine. And my grandfather was born somewhere in Romania or whatever, somewhere over there. So am I Argentinian? Yeah, I was born over here. I speak like an Argentinian and so on. But the truth is, I'm super European. I have nothing of Argentinian. What do you want from me? My mother was born in Europe, and my grandfather was born in Europe, and my grandmother, the wife of my grandfather, was also born in Europe. So I'm, whatever, imported Argentinian, like many Argentinians. Most of the Argentinians are from Spain, from Italy, most of them. So are there Argentinians? I don't know. What does that mean? Can I call myself, I'm a pure Argentinian? Who are you kidding? So the same thing happens with these Arabs that call themselves Palestinians and all this garbage. I'm sorry that I'm so hard on this, but I think it has to be clear. They're not the original people living there. Not at all. And the Jewish people has been there for thousands of years without interruption. At all. Oh, but when you came, you killed all the... Yeah, you know what? People conquer. Yeah? People conquer countries. And that's the way it used to be before... Many years ago, that's the way it used to be. That caused the First World War, the Second World War, and whatever. You can bring so many examples in history. So that's the way it used to work. I'm sorry. That's it. Story. You can't change that. Now, let's close parentheses. So we have two types of war, the conquering of the seven nations and the conquering of the war of Amalek. It's two different things. The Amilcham, Shiva Umois, the war against the seven nations is to conquer from them the land. We're talking around 3,300 years ago, around that time, many, many years ago. But we had to conquer, this is what the Jewish people did actually, conquer the land from them. אבל המלחמה עם המלאק היא באויב של תמחה, שכוונה זה היא איבוד המלאק. But the war with המלאק is a different type of war. That's called erase, press delete. The idea behind this war is to destroy completely המלאק. So we have a very clear difference between these two types of war. One is conquering, which doesn't mean killing, okay? In war, people die. Yeah, I know. In war, people die. But if the seven nations just wanted to leave Eretz Israel, we opened the door, so to speak. There was a way where they could just run away and be happy. Go find yourself a different place. But it was my place. Yeah, okay, conquering. War is war, and we conquered the place, like it or not. But Amalek? Nah. Amalek, you have to destroy them. But they're not doing anything to you. I don't care. Kill them. Destroy them completely. Two types of war. Hine, now, inyan milchemes shiva umis be'avoidahu. How do you actually use this in the service of God, as we mentioned before? That, of course, this happened so many years ago. Who cares? No, wait a second. It has an expression in today's work, service of God, in each one of us, in each person. What's the avoida? What's the service of God out of this war with seven nations? The keshem shevikivus ikivush eretz shiva umois inyan da bepashtus hu shekovshim es haaretz ashayech ze shiva umois veyosim imena eretz Israel. Just us in the conquering of the land of the seven nations. The idea, very simple, is to conquer the place, this land that actually belonged, that's the truth, to these seven nations. Okay, God promised it to Abraham. Okay, they lived over there. It was their place. And we have to conquer, we had to conquer that, and we have to convert, transform that place, Eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan, into Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. That was the point, to transform this place from, let's quote it, just to say it in one way, an unholy place, from being an unholy place, make it a holy place. Okay, from Canaan to Israel, very good. Al derech ze, the same thing happens, be'avodas Adam, in the service of a person to God. Zehu inyan kivush shiva midos. You have to conquer your seven emotional attributes. And the Rebbe puts in parentheses, this is one of the most important paragraphs of the whole Maimar, the whole discourse. We have to conquer seven qualities. Now, this discourse is not about what are the seven qualities and what are their names and how do they express. That's a different discourse. Over here we know there are seven different attributes: love for God, fear for God, love, fear, whatever, chesed, word, tefillah, whatever they are. Parentheses, very important parentheses. From them, from these seven qualities, I should say something before the parentheses, before reading the parentheses. So we're talking about seven inner, so to speak, qualities in a person. I have to refine myself. I have to refine myself. Let me just give one very simple example in order to understand what we're talking about. What are these seven things? I'm not going to explain, but let's just take one. Love. This is called, usually in mysticism, Kabbalah, whatever, chesed, kindness. Okay, every single human being, without exception, has a capacity for kindness. I can be kind, whatever. The expression of kindness usually is love. Why do you give a bill, whatever, a cent to a poor person in the street, extending the hand, can you help me? Why do you give them something? Because you love this guy. I don't even know who this guy is, and I don't want to know who this guy is either. But I love doing good. I love that this person can eat something, or whatever he's going to do with the money. I don't care. It's just an example. So you act out of love. Again, of course, you don't love this guy. You love your wife, husband, and so on. But whatever. You love doing good. You love this person being well, as best as you can. You're not going to give him the whole fortune you have. As best as you can, you help this person out of love. Okay. But you can love other things. You can take your quality of love and love pizza. I love pizza, and I eat pizza the whole day, and I buy pizza from all kinds of places, and I taste them, and I'm so much into this, it's so, pizza and pizza and pizza. It's the same quality of love. It's your quality of love. The question is, what do you invest your quality of love in? Do you invest it in helping people or in eating pizza? It's the same thing, basically, within yourself. The question is, again, where is pointed? What's the focus of your quality of love? Leave the pizza. It's okay to eat pizza, no, not a problem. But if you live on pizza for pizza, you have a problem. Live for doing good to other people. So again, we have qualities inside of us. That was one example of quality of kindness, which expresses us love. Where does it come from? Oh, it comes from the way God created the world. In Kabbalah, this is called spheroids, whatever that means, spheres or spheres, I don't know. I don't care the translation either. It's just an expression of godliness. And God decided, because he wanted and because he saw fit, and it was enough for the creation of the world, to create 10 spheroids. This actually comes from the Pardes. It's a very interesting book. Whatever. He saw it was good enough for his intention to create 10 of these expressions. Not more, not less. With 10 expressions, he could do it. With less than 10 expressions, of course, God can do anything he wants. But in order to get the results he wanted, he saw fit 10 expressions. More than 10 expressions, God would be creating something unnecessary, and God doesn't do anything that is not necessary in the world. So 10 expressions, good. One of those 10 expressions is kindness. So from his expressions of godliness, we have inside of us our expressions of, actually, godliness also is the soul and so on. In this example I gave is chesed, kindness, love. So we see that from God's expressions develops and comes down, projects, so to speak, our expression of kindness. With this introduction, we can understand the parentheses. The Rebbe just said, okay, wait a second. We have to conquer the land of seven nations. Yeah, that's a story thousands of years ago. Who cares? No. It expresses in yourself also. You have to conquer your seven qualities, which actually your seven qualities come from the seven expressions of godliness. But you know what? Let's read the parentheses. Al derech zeh, just a little bit before, al derech zeh, the same thing happens with this conquering thing of the land of Israel, the clan to make it Israel, in the service of God. Zehu inyan kivu shiva amidois, you have to conquer their seven qualities, shemehem nishtal shilu shiva umois. Powerful parenthesis. Where do these seven nations come from that they used to live in the land of Canaan and so on? From the seven qualities of godliness also. From the seven expressions of godliness. What do you think? That we are the only ones that have these seven expressions because God and so on? No, 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 no. Every single person in the world comes from there. Every single thing in the world comes from an expression of a combination of those expressions of godliness. I know I use the same word 10 times in the same phrase, but that's what it actually means. There's no such a thing as water. I have water in my cup. Okay. The water is also an expression of kindness, of God's love for us, expanding and projecting ourselves like the water expands and flows and so on. Okay, so every single thing in the world comes from those things. Now, we're talking about, coming back over here to the Maamar, to the discourse, we're talking about seven, quote unquote, bad nations, seven bad things that have to be kicked out, taken out from the land of Israel. Where do they come from? From the same place. Everything comes from godliness. There's no such a thing as beyond godliness. The only thing that exists is godliness, actually. Hainu, continuing. Kivush amidos, I'm sorry. Deleum azeh, v'afichasam likedusha. You have to conquer your seven bad qualities and you have to transform it into kedusha, into holiness. Stop loving pizza and start loving doing mitzvahs. That's what he's saying. Beze koilel gam esamoichin ashayachim elamidis. Now, this is going to be tough. hold on to your chair. And this includes the intellect that has a relationship with the emotions. Ubifrache etzela umois, in particular, by the nations of the world, areyai karema midois, the main thing is the emotion, ve'amoichim en rak bishvila midois. And the intellect serves the emotions. I'll explain in a minute. Let's go to the brackets. Kenoida, as it's known, I looked for the sources, but it doesn't say anything else, interestingly. Kenoida, it's known. Shezewa efresh ben Israel, umoisa oilam. This is the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. What's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? Debeu moisa oilam minyana moichinu bishvila midis bilvat. In the nations of the world, the whole thing of intellect is for the emotions. Serves the emotions, as I'll explain in a minute. Just like this smartness, this being smart of the fox, he's the most, the smartest of all the animals. So, is he stupid? No, he's smart. Oh, that means that he has brain and like intellect and can understand. And can, no, no. It's just an intellect that serves the purpose of being the wisest animal, so to speak, in the wilds. This is very powerful. Therefore, it's impossible for them, for the nations of the world, to have this thing that the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya so many times. The brain controls the heart. Moyach shalit al alev. The brain controls the heart. They can't. It's impossible. Why? Yamoyach urak bishvil alev. Because in the nations of the world, the brain is, again, serving the heart. So he can't control the heart. It's like a servant, like a slave that comes and says, I'm going to control you, my master. What are you talking about? I'm the master and you're the slave. I'll control you. So over here, the same thing happens. If the master is the heart, so to speak, the emotions, so the brain can't control the heart. The brain is just a servant for the emotions, as I'll explain in a minute. Mashe enk in Israel, which is not the case with the Jewish people, it's written over there, Da'etz Elokei Avicha, you should know the God of your father, says David to Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, She'etz Lamamoy Kemen HaIkar, by the Jews, the intellect, da, know, is the main thing. That's why they can have this thing of knowledge and recognizing godliness. And also this thing of the brain controls the heart. Let's continue because it's just one line and there's a lot to explain over here. This is the idea of the conquering of the land of the seven nations, the first type of war we're talking about. We have to transform it from the land of Canaan into a good and bright, whatever, ample, big land, the land of Israel. Point. Let's go back. Because there are many, many important subjects and ideas over here in this paragraph. Idea number one. The emotions in the heart actually come from the brain. From the intellect in the brain. And actually, if you look at it in a very medical, and I'm not a doctor, whatever. But if you look at it very carefully, there are nerves coming from the brain, and they actually touch the heart and touch the intestines and touch everything. Everything is full of nerves over there, all over the place. There's one of them, which is one of the main, the vagus nerve, whatever. It comes from the brain, and it controls the heart. How hard, how fast the heart is going to beat, what's going to be the feelings of a person, and so on. So we do see that there's an influence from the brain into the rest of the body. In this case, we're talking about the heart. Okay, we do see that in a physical way. So that's why it's in a spiritual way also. Because it's spiritual actually also expressed in the physical body of a person. How does it work? When a person thinks with his brain about a subject and thinks about all the possibilities this subject, this thing can actually cause him. It's good for me because of A, B, Z, and it's bad for me because X, Y, Z. So you think about it. You think. And you get to a conclusion. this is good for me. I really need this. I really, whatever, even want this. And this is good for me. Because I can want something that is not good for me. If a person has diabetes, don't go eat the whole cake of sugar. It's not going to be good for you. Be careful. But I want this and it's good for me. I really understand, like a normal and healthy brain, I understand this is good for me. And therefore I want it. Okay. That conclusion from a very intellectual discussion, so to speak, within yourself, that conclusion goes down into the heart and makes the heart actually pump, so to speak, strongly about this thing. I want this, and you don't stop thinking about this, and you actually want it, and you run, and you find out the ways you can actually get this, and so on. So that's how the brain develops, awakens, and develops emotions. Same thing happens the other way around. When you think about how bad something is really for you, this is really bad for me, it's going to do such a damage in my life and so on, you run away from this thing. Because you really realize that this is something so bad for you. So you run away from this thing, and the strongest you understood how bad this is, the strongest you're going to run away from that. Okay, that's how the brain influences the heart. And as we mentioned before, there's a thing called moichin bishvil amidos. There's a brain, an intellect that serves the emotions. When a person actually did not necessarily think so much about it, but he has an emotion to it because it looks nice or whatever, you don't really think about it, but you start finding ways of getting this thing. And you have to start, so to speak, outsmarting yourself. How can I really get this? But you're not thinking whether this thing is good or bad for you. You just think, I want this. So that's called brain for the service of the emotions. It's not really healthy brain. Because it started down from bottom up. It started from the heart. Not, you didn't think about this. You just want it. Whatever. And you're ready to do crazy things for this. In really crazy things, why? Are you stupid? No, I'm not stupid, but I kind of found a justification why this thing wouldn't be so bad for me. I really want it. You started backwards, from the heart into the brain. That's called brain for the service of the emotions. Intellect for the service of the emotions. And that's why the Rebbe brings the example of the fox. It's a smart animal. And it's going to catch the prey and so on with smart attitudes, really smart. But, of course, you can't sum 1 plus 1 or multiply 2 times 2. That's not the fox, forget it. It's just the brain, the intellect needed for the emotions, for whatever thing the animal needs. This is the direct explanation of why the Rebbe makes this difference between Jews and non-Jews regarding the emotions. Not because non-Jews are compared to animals. No way. That's not the point over here. That's why the Rebbe says, al derech. This is similar, but it's not the same thing. Similar means it's not the same thing. Okay. So the Rebbe is not calling non-Jews animals over here. Not at all. The Rebbe is just saying the intellect that God put into non-Jews works as a servant for the emotions. And the intellect that God put into Jews, the emotions serve that intellect in the best of the cases. Can you find ordinary Jews? Yes, you're going to find. Can you find refined non-Jews? Yes, you're going to find. So it's an infinite combination of these things. But this is a very general description. Now, even though the Rebbe doesn't say this, I learned from other places, and this is the way I understand it. I might be wrong, of course, but the Rebbe brings in a sicha, in a talk, when a non-Jew learns Torah from a Jew, by a Jew, through a Jew, whatever, it gets elevated to that level of intellect controlling the emotions also. But the Torah has to come from a good source, let's call it that way, from a good source. So there is such a possibility also, but has to be guided, properly guided, so to speak. Okay. So this paragraph The Rebbe explained the war of these seven nations to transform the land of Canaan into the land of Israel. Vehine, now, Akiv ush de eres Shiva umois, the conquering of this land of the seven nations, Shiva midas bavodas Adam, that we explained that they represent the seven emotional qualities in each person. Hu avoida kasha beyoiser, it's a very difficult work. Don't think this is easy. Kemo begashmius, just as in a material way, physical way, the conquering of the seven nations of this land was actually with a lot of war. 7 years Yeshua was warring, whatever, conquering this place. It was hard. Great war. The same thing happens in a spiritual work that is represented, that represents, I'm sorry, this conquering. In order to conquer these seven nations, see that how the Rebbe puts back and forth nations, midos, qualities, emotions, they interchange constantly. So in order to conquer your seven emotions, I'm changing one word just to make it clearer, it's a very difficult work. Really, really difficult. And even though our sages say that if the Jewish people would have been meritorious at that moment in history when they were entering, so to speak, the land of Canaan, the conquering would have been through Moshe Rabbeinu. He wouldn't have died. It was 3 days or 11 days, whatever, different midrashim, after the giving of the Torah. We could have conquered the place. Moshiach would have come, and whatever, we wouldn't be here sitting learning this, probably. But it didn't happen. That would have been the Jewish people entering the land of Canaan and so on with Moshe Rabbeinu. That would have been like the conquering of the land of Sichon and Oik, which is what today would be Jordan. Shem hayu meginim the shitzer, okay, in Yiddish, shel eretz shiva umois. They were the protectors, the guardians of this seven, the land of the seven nations, Sichon and Oik, two kings. It was a victory beyond the laws of nature. Like, there were many more than us and stronger than us, and still we conquered them quite easily outside the land of Israel. So the entering of into the land of Israel, if we would have been meritorious, would have been like that. So easy. Really easy. So how can you tell me that conquering the seven emotions is so hard? It would have been easy. Easy. It's actually an easy job. Parenthesis. How much more so conquering the land of the seven nations would have been easier than conquering the land of Sichon and Oik, these two kings? Uma eretz Yisrael, Sichon ve'Oik, she'ein eretz Yisrael. How was the conquering of the land of Sichon and Oik? It was not Eretz Israel. It was not the land of Israel. And we conquered it so easily. How much more so? How much more so? That's the way it should have been in the land of Israel, a good land and so on. And therefore, and if we would have been actually meritorious, and we would have entered the land of Israel in this way with Moshe Rabbeinu, so conquering the seven qualities, emotional qualities within yourself, within ourselves, also would have been so easy. Yeah, you're right. It would have been easy. Like Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. He actually wanted us to be in the level of vision, actually seeing God, godliness, whatever. Moshe complained basically to God in Parshas Vayechanan when he actually prayed 515 times, I want to go into the land of Israel, please. And God said, no. I decided no. But God, what did Moshe say? You started leharois. You started showing me. I saw. That means, Moshe ratza lifol bebnei Yisrael, she'asagas elokus shelayim tiyeh bechinas re'iyah. Moshe wanted to accomplish that the Jewish people also would grasp godliness in a way of seeing. So Moshe, what he was saying is, God, just as you showed me, show them. They should also see. In a way, the Rebbe is paraphrasing, using verses here, there, whatever, in a way that it would have been beyond, we would have conquered the land of Canaan, in a way beyond what the verse says. In Parshas Kiseitze, when you go out of the war, again, it's your enemy, so there's a war. We wouldn't have had that war. That's the point. Shegam is like a very long phrase. Shegam be'oifin kazeh ari kvart b'tzeitza l'milchama hu aliveho, that our sages say, that the Rebbe brings in the discourse, that what does it mean, kiseitza l'milchama aliveho? When you go out of to war against your enemy, when you go out to war on top of your enemy, aliveho means you're on top of him. That means that even just went out, you're already on top of them. Don't worry. And let me, you say to me, more so, it would have been so easy. They would have been completely nullified to us. Forget it. It would have been so easy. So easy peace. And even as it actually was, this conquering with Yeshua. When the Jewish people was only in a way of, there's a word missing over here, I think, of listening. There's a difference, very, very big difference between seeing and hearing. When you see something, you have the complete certainty that that is. Nobody can actually tell you that wasn't, in you saw wrong. No, I saw it. When you hear something, there are doubts. I don't know, maybe I didn't hear properly. Maybe somebody can introduce doubts on you. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to conquer the land of Israel, it didn't happen. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was ready for that, he saw godliness, whatever that means, and he wanted us to see godliness also. When Yeshua conquered the land of Israel, we didn't see godliness. Our sages say that if Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun, Yeshua was like the moon. Just reflection. It's not the real, the moon doesn't have a light from itself, it's just a reflection from the sun. So Yeshua was like the moon. So the Jewish people were in a level of Shema, of listening, hearing. Even so, Mikol Makim, in a kivu shiricho Yeshua manula shereretz Israel ayagam gem bevenisi. The conquering of Yericho, the first city that Yeshua conquered, which was like the entrance, so to speak. In Spanish we say candado. Candado is like a lock. It was the lock of the land of Israel. Hayagam kim befenisi was also miraculous. When you see the text over there in Yeshua, you see that they surrounded the city and they blew the shofar and the walls fell down. Okay, a whole story over there. The alidei shekifu zachoyim ashiva pamim, through surrounding the walls of the city 7 times, ima arein, with the ark and so on, vatipol achoyma tachtea, so the wall just came down. V'chol zeya bekoicho shel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was also able to do all of this, and even more than that. So if with Yeshua you could do this, oy, imagine with Moshe, you could conquer the whole land so easily. Okay, over here, we didn't finish, but ends a very long phrase. What was the beginning of the phrase? Let's just go back a second. To understand what the Rebbe is saying over here. So we have to conquer the 7 nations, the 7 emotions. Very good. And the Rebbe said, add it, so to speak, in this paragraph, but it's a hard work. It's really hard. Don't think this is easy. Pizza is something so lovable, and doing good to other people, not so much. So it's difficult, I know. So the Rebbe started like a big, big, long phrase. What was the long phrase? It could have been easy. It could be easy. Why? Yeah, because when Moshe Rabbeinu conquered, Yeshua conquered, yeah, that shows that it would have been able to be easy. But it wasn't. Why? Because we were not meritorious. And that's the last line, so to speak, that's 2 lines of this paragraph. Omnam bepoyal, but in the practical sense, Even Shelezahu, since we were not meritorious, Sari Shamilchama Imaum Sepoyal Tiebe Derech Milchama Kasha. It has to be, God established, so to speak, the system that the war against these nations, and again, nations and emotions over here constantly back and forth, it's the same thing. Nations was in story, in history, 3,000 years ago. Emotions is right now within each one of us. It has to be, God established the system that the conquering of this nation, the war against these nations, these emotions, in a practical sense, it's in a way of war, point number one, not miraculous, and kasha. And it's very hard. Very hard. And the Rebbe puts into parentheses, interesting, as in the practical sense, when you see the story in the Tanakh, in Sefer Yeshua, in the book of Yeshua, just the first city was easy. The rest, oy veismir, wasn't so easy, to the point that they could not take away all of them. They still remained over there, even after Yeshua, it wasn't so easy. So with Moshe would have been like this. With Yeshua started easy, miraculous, but it didn't end so easy. Not at all. So it's a hard work. It's a very hard work to refine the nations, again, the nations of the world, or the emotions. It was very hard in story, in history.